John 14:15-18, please go on.
I'm reading from NKJV.
Yes, New King James.
If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you.
Amen. Say, I will not leave you. This was Jesus when he was about to leave the world. He's been with his disciples for like three years-ish. Yeah? And he's been everything for them. Yeah? He provided their needs when they were hungry. You know, he multiplied bread and fed the 5,000. Am I right? 5,000 and I think also next. After 5,000, 3 or 7? 7,000. Yeah? When we needed to pay money for tax, he sent Peter to go and find a fish. And inside the fish was a coin. And they paid the tax. When Peter's mother-in-law was not feeling well, he laid hands on her and she got well. When they were traveling on the sea and there was a storm that was going to tumble their boat, he rose up and what? And rebuked the storm. He was there for them through thick and thin. But now, he's about to leave them. Yeah? So you can imagine the feeling in them. A feeling of despair. A feeling of helplessness. It's like, I'm going to be all on my own now. Yeah? Jesus is going. But Jesus said, you know what? I'm not going to leave you like an orphan. I will come to you. And how will he come? Through the Holy Spirit. Okay, John 14:15-18. New Living Translation. Thank you. I like your readiness. Yeah? That's you know, that's part of the armor of God. Your readiness. Hallelujah. Continue.
If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you an other advocate, who will never leave you. Hmm. He is the Holy Spirit, who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you.
Amen. He said the world cannot receive him. So the Holy Spirit is not God's gift to the world. God's gift to the world is Jesus. That's why when you go to the world, who do you preach to them? You preach Jesus. Amen. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave what? His only begotten Son. That whoever believes should not perish but have everlasting life. What we have to give to the world is Jesus. That's God's gift to the world. Amen? Now, but for those who have come to Christ, yeah? You have received Jesus. Amen? You've received God's gift. If you have not received God's gift, you are not in Christ. You may be in church, but you are not what? In Christ. You may be sitting on a green chair or a blue chair. Amen? In church, but not in Christ. Only until you receive Jesus. Now you are in Christ. Amen? So now, God's gift to the church or to the believer is who? The Holy Spirit. So I have a question. Because I do this to help you, you know, take your, help your understanding. So I do a lot of teaching. Sometimes I preach, but mostly I teach. Who is the Holy Spirit? That's an easy question, actually. Yes? Young people? Let's start from young people. Who is the Holy Spirit? Anyone? Anyone who is ready? For time's sake. Who is the Holy Spirit? Yes. And by the way, you are very welcome. You are very welcome, brother. I will do the introduction at the end of the service. My wife forgot, but I'll do it at the end. Okay, go on, please.
All right, so to me, the Holy Spirit is the third personality of God.
He's the third person. Yeah, continue.
Yeah, that Jesus promised his disciples when he was leaving. Yeah.
Amen. The God we are serving, I like to call him Yahweh. Because in the Hebrew, his name is Y-Yod-He-Vav-H. Yeah, Y-H-V-H. Okay? Without any vowels. Amen? But we also know when you're reading some Psalms, you will see him being called Yah. It cannot be J because J is not in Hebrew. It's Yah. Like Jesus, yeah? It's a move from Yeshua. So the name Joshua is same as the name of Jesus. Joshua, Yeshua. And Yeshua moved to Greek before he came to English. It's okay? And he became Jesus. But there's no J in Hebrew. It's Yah. So I think we know that the name of God starts with Yah. Amen? It's Yah. And then Ahava in Hebrew, it means love. And God is love. That's why I call him Yahava, which actually interprets his name as God is love. Amen? Now, Yahava, or the Most High God who we serve, is three persons in one. He's not God in three forms. Amen? He's not one God in three forms. No, it's three persons. Yeah? But perfect harmony, perfect unity, perfect relationship as one. Hallelujah. So the God we serve is a relationship. Amen? It's three persons. It's one. So you're not even packaging the nature of God, it shows us the importance of relationship. Amen? The greatest happiness you ever have in life, yeah, comes from what? Relationship. Yeah? If your relationship with God is in order, you have peace. Amen? A peace that passes all understanding. And if your relationship with people around you is in order, you have joy. Isn't it? Yeah? So God is relationship. It's three persons. And like the brother said, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the triune God. Yes? Any other answer? Any other answer or a question? Is any question rising or answer? Give me an answer or a question. Who is the Holy Spirit? Any other answer? Come on, church. Before I move on, any other answer or question? You see, you can ask a question during my sermon. It's okay.
To keep it simple, He is God.
He is God. Let's not forget it. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is what? God. Another way is, I'll say that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. God, yeah, the Father, sits on the throne. But we call Him omnipresent. Yeah? Why? Because His Spirit is everywhere. You see, from the throne, yeah? God doesn't need to get up before He reaches you. Right from the throne, He can reach you without moving. Amen? He can be sitting on His throne and still touching you without lifting a finger. Because His Spirit, yeah, is everywhere. So the Holy Spirit is God and is the third person of the triune God. Any other answer or question on this? Who is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? Okay, sorry.
I said He's the advocate.
He's the... That's New Living Translation. He's what? The advocate. I mean, you're jumping, but we'll get there. Thank you. Thank you for that. Amen. So in the simplistic answer, we'll come to that answer. It's important. But the first thing we want to know about the Holy Spirit is the third person of God, and He's also God. Yeah? And I've explained to you last week, I'll say it again. The Father is God. Jesus Christ, the Son, is what? God. And the Holy Spirit is God. They are equally God. But they are not equal. Amen? I need to explain that part. Yeah? They are equally God. So I and my sons, we share the same surname. We have equal right to that surname. But we are not equal. Amen? Any of us represents that last name. Yeah? It belongs to the family. Amen? But we are not equal. The Father is greater than the Son. And the Son came to represent the Father. As I just, Einstein just says, whatever you see me doing is what my Father does. I came to do the will of my Father. Hallelujah. Bible says, no one has seen God, the Father, at any time. Does that include Abraham? Yeah? Did Abraham see God? Did you read Genesis that God came to visit Abraham and God ate? Yeah? But the Bible says no one has seen God at any time. I'm talking about the Father. But it says that the Son came to what? Reveal the Father. So anytime you reach someone who saw and that with God, who did they interact with? Jesus. Whether in the past or in the present or in the future. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, the Son, Jesus, is greater than the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because the Son sent the Spirit. He said, it's important for you that I go. Because when I go, I will send. Amen? And the Bible says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will not speak of himself, but he will represent Jesus. He said, whatever I told you, that's what he will tell you. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit came to represent Jesus in your life. The way Jesus lives in you is through the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles to 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 to 8. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 to 8. We'll look at the title, Holy Spirit in You. I like young people to read. You know, I want to engage you. If you're a young person in church, it's my pleasure to engage. I remember when I was younger. I'm still young. I remember when I was younger. Okay, so a young person. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 to 8. Yes, any young person? I'm going to come to you. So when there are more readings, you eventually to get your turn. Okay, 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 to 8. Tell us which version.
New King James Version.
Okay.
For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree as one.
Amen. Okay, let's have another version. 1 John 5, 7 to 8, a young person. I know you're young, but I'm looking at someone between 11 and 18. I will not make the mistake of saying you're not young, because you are young. I don't want to be in trouble. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 to 8. Tell us which version.
New Living Translation.
Okay.
So we have these three witnesses, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and all three agree.
Yeah, okay, starting from 7. 7, yeah. 7 and 8. 1 John 5, 7 and 8.
So we have these three witnesses, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and all of these three agree.
Okay. That's supposed to be verse 8. Am I right? In New Living. Okay, so is that New Living different? Okay, fine. I get it. Why did New Living do that to me? Is it why it's not my first choice? Amen. Did you see what New Living just did? Huh? It caught something important. Yeah? Why will it do that? Okay, Amplified. 1 John 5, 7 and 8. 1 John 5, 7 and 8. So you see why I always take you back to King James. It's like you have scotch. Yeah? And many versions give you diluted scotch. But I want to give you what? The original one. I'm not saying that you should drink it like that. You can add some water. But at least let me give it to you in the original form.
Yes.
Amen? Give you the whole truth, the whole package. Not something diluted. Then you can go off and do something with it. Amen? 1 John 5, 7 and 8.
So there are three witnesses in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one.
Amen. There are three witnesses in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And I like this version because you need to understand that some of us, you only recognize Jesus when he came to the world as the Son. But actually, Jesus is not created. Yeah? Jesus is not created. He exists with the Father eternally as the Word of God. The Logos. Jesus is what? The Logos of God. The Word. And that's, the Bible says, in the beginning was what? The Word. 1 John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. All things were made through Him. And without Him was nothing made that was made. So, from eternity past to eternity future, there are three witnesses in heaven. the Father, the Word, amen, the Logos, that's Jesus, and what? And the Spirit. And these three, they are what? They are one, or they agree perfectly. They are in perfect harmony, like you never know. Amen? More perfect harmony than marriage. More perfect harmony than the love of a mother for their child. There's no competition. There's no contradiction. Amen? They're in perfect harmony from eternity past to eternity future. Amen? Let's stop it there. Let's stop it there. That's good enough for me. Let me move on.
You want me to read verse 8?
Okay, read verse 8. He has insisted.
And there are three witnesses on the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. These three agree, are in unison. Their testimony coincides.
Amen. Do you know why verse 8 is important? Yeah? Because right now, yeah, Jesus has come and he's gone back to heaven. Yeah? He ascended to heaven. He's coming back. Say with me, say, Jesus is coming back and I'm looking forward. You see, if you're not looking forward, there's a problem. You need to look forward. Because looking forward helps you to get ready. Amen? He's coming back. He's not coming back for everyone. He's coming back for his precious ones. Those who are watching and waiting. Amen? So you need to watch. Yeah? You need to watch and be ready for the bridegroom. Because you are like the bride. Yeah? Stay watching. Stay ready. So that you will not miss. Yeah? He's coming. Hallelujah. But he has gone. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father right now. Yeah? Remember? He is God. So he can reach you. Amen? Jesus can reach you from heaven right now. How does he do that? By the Spirit of Christ. Yeah? Amen? Right there in heaven, he can reach you right now. Amen? Because he is the same Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Father. He is the Spirit of Christ. Hallelujah. So, but the Holy Spirit is the one on earth. There are three that bear witness on earth. What? What's number one? The Spirit. Oh, check it. 1 John 5:8. Please check your Bible. What's number one? You know, when I'm reading the Bible, I know that there's order. It's not like just random. There are three that bear witness in heaven. What's number one? The Father. No, in heaven. The Father. You see, one thing I learned in Bible is that the first thing is the most important. For example, the first commandment is the most important commandment. If you get the first commandment, if you can understand it and master it, every other thing will fall in place. What's the first commandment? Exodus 20. What's the first of the 10 commandments? Let's go to young people. Exodus chapter 20. What is the first commandment? Anybody? Any young person? Okay. Adults. What's the first commandment? The very first commandment that God gave to the nation of Israel. Do you know it? This side of the church, you need to wake up. Wakey, wakey. Okay, let me allow. First commandment.
You shall not have any other God before you.
You shall not have any other gods before me. Amen? If you get that, and you get it 100%, you're on your way to heaven. To understand that God is the number one. Nothing else competes with God in my life. No idols. Yeah? No idols. Nothing takes the place of God. Nothing in this world that I treasure so much, yeah, that is more important to me than my relationship with God. Nothing in this world is more important than obeying what God has told me to do. Yeah? If you get that right, every other commandment, for example, if you get that right, yeah, you will not go and commit adultery. You know why Joseph did not commit adultery? Yeah? Why? He said he feared God. Amen? He feared God. Many times people misbehave because they don't have any fear of God. Okay, fine. Nobody is watching you. Amen? What about God? Can you hide? Can you hide from God? Can you close the curtains of heaven? Yeah? No. The fear of God is the beginning of what? Wisdom. Hallelujah. So he said there are three that bear witness in heaven. The Father. The Word. You see, there's order. And what? The Spirit. Now let's go down to earth. There are three that bear witness on earth. What is number one? The Spirit. And then? The water. And what? The blood. Hallelujah. Let me move on. So now I have another question for you. I'm teaching because I want you to understand this. Now, on what condition does the Holy Spirit come to live in you? The Holy Spirit is the number one witness on earth. Amen? If you're going to have the relationship with God, you need the Holy Spirit as your witness. So what is the condition? Look, the Holy Spirit is on earth. He's walking, he's moving. But how can you be sure that the Holy Spirit is in you? Not just around. Yeah? Not just in the church. But in you, personal. On what condition or what is the basis for which the Holy Spirit can come to live in you? Being that the Holy Spirit is God. Yes? Come on, church. Okay, I want to see more hands. I'm coming to you, sir. If you what? If you invite him, yes, not bad. More? I'm coming to you.
If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God.
If you believe, Sister Claudia, that is a good answer. The only thing is that yesterday, you know, we went out for evangelism. You will meet some people. Who will tell you that they believe? Yeah? They will say the what? They believe. Say, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Yes! But they will not do anything about it. They will believe, but they will do nothing else. So that is what we call shallow belief. So more, that's a good answer, but let's develop it. More, on what condition does the Holy Spirit come to live inside you, personally?
I think being in the presence of God at all times.
Yes.
But so that's the difficulty. That's why I think that's the difficult bit. If you can be in the presence of God, I'm talking practical now. If we can be in the presence of God at all times, everywhere we go, what, how we connect, then, I mean, that's a foundation for to be, but yes, that's
I get you. Psalm 91, verse 1 says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And what is the secret place of the Most High? It's his presence. Yeah, it's just simple. If you're in his presence, you will abide under his shadow. Is that simple? Straightforward. Yeah? So, if you want to keep abiding under his shadow, you should continue to what? Engage. What? With his presence. But more answers. The answers I will say, I just need to tidy it up. Okay? I just need to tidy. Someone who can give me an answer that just completes it.
I don't know if it's
okay. It's okay. Yeah. Have a go.
Yeah.
On what condition does the Holy Spirit come to live in you?
Yeah. Is to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
Accept Jesus. Amen. When you accept the husband, you also accept what? The wife. She's not sure.
Really?
Amen. Amen. If you love the husband genuinely, you will also what? Love what? The wife. If you meet somebody who loves your husband, but does not love you, they are dangerous. Amen. They are what? Dangerous. Hallelujah. They will come between you both. Amen. If you love the husband, you've got to love what? The wife. Because Bible said the two shall be what? One. And Bible said whatever God has put together, joined together, no one what? Should come between them. Amen. See, I love my pastor, but I don't really like his wife. When you are telling me that, I say, okay, let me watch out. That this person, this person, I need to watch out for them. I won't tell you, but in my mind, I was like, okay, I get it. Amen. Hallelujah. When you accept Jesus, the Spirit of Christ comes to live in you. Amen. Now, if you reject Jesus, you don't have the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter whether you have been in church for 15 years. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter whether you know all the praise worship songs. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter whether you play the drums and heaven and earth are dancing. Amen. It doesn't matter your talent. Hallelujah. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you don't have the Holy Spirit inside you. Hallelujah. It's not enough to believe. Actually, it is. We just need to qualify what believing is. Amen? If believing just means I mentally agree that Jesus is the Son of God, that's no belief. Bible says, if you believe with your heart, please open your Bible to Romans 10. Let's just clarify that. So what I'm teaching, I'm just teaching step by step, and you will be with me, not just this week, but the other weeks, because we're going to develop this. Amen? I want to take you into a closer relationship with the Holy Spirit. Understand, encountering both His presence and His power. I want to have a walking, close, walking, intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because He is the number one witness on the earth. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Someone who has not spoken or read or done something during this sermon. Romans 10, 9 to 10. Yes. A young person. A older person. Romans 10, 9 to 10. If you've not spoken during this sermon, please, it's your turn. Romans 10, 9 to 10.
I'm reading from NKJV.
Yes.
That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Amen.
For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Hallelujah. Can you find anything about the mind there? Yeah? Anybody has a Bible that says mind? If you agree with your mind. Anybody? Can you say mind? Anybody says agree with your mind. Amen? You see, believing has to be in the depth. Let me explain believing to you so you understand it. Firstly, you cannot believe anything you don't agree with. Amen? If I say something to you and you disagree, you can't believe it. Does it make sense? So the first step to believing is agreeing. Yeah? So it's like my sister said there, you know, many people say, I believe in Jesus, that He's the Son of God. But what they are really saying is that I agree. I mentally agree. Yeah? I don't have a problem with that in my mind. Yeah? But they do nothing about it. Yeah? Don't you understand? If Jesus is the Son of God, and He told you that I'm the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me, and you believe that, what will you do? What will you do? If you believe that, what will you do? Tell me. What will you
do?
So?
If I believe that.
Yes. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and is the only way to heaven, how are you going to respond?
I will believe and be saved.
You already believed. So what are you going to do? I'm talking about a deed now. What will you do?
Okay, I'll follow
him. You follow him! Hallelujah! Amen. You what? You will follow. Look, Jesus is the Son of God and is the only way to heaven. What will you do? What?
Following.
You will follow. If you don't follow, you don't believe. Are you with me? Now, let me explain following to you. Following is not just like, I'll go to church on Sunday. I will follow is every word. I will obey is every commandment. Yeah? I will give him my attention. I will give him my heart and my soul and my body. Because he's the real deal. He's the Son of God. He's the way to heaven. He's the only one that ever came down from heaven. Hallelujah. You will follow. That is the proof that you believe with your heart. When you believe with your heart, you commit. Amen? If you believe with your heart, what do? You commit. If you don't commit, you're only believing with your head, but not with your heart. Now, when you commit to Jesus, what does Jesus do?
Sees your heart.
Amen? You what?
Sees your heart.
Yeah, but I'm not asking what he sees. I'm asking what he does. But that's not a bad answer. Okay? What does Jesus do? You commit to Jesus with your heart. Yeah? That's what you did. How does Jesus respond? You what? He leads, yes?
He gives you the Holy Spirit.
Yes, that's the final destination. But just follow the phrase. If you commit to Jesus, what does Jesus do? Follow the phrase. Let it rhyme. You commit to Jesus. What does Jesus do? He commits to you. Amen. Amen. If you commit to Jesus, what does Jesus do? He commits to you. And you know the proof of his commitment? Is what? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the down payment of your salvation. I'm quoting the Bible. He says it's the guarantee. It's the earnest. Yeah? It's the seal of our salvation. Amen? When you commit to Jesus, Jesus what? Commits to you. He gives a deposit of his Spirit. Amen? When does that happen? From the moment you commit. And let's get back to my brother. He doesn't make a mistake about this commitment because he sees your heart. So when you are not committed, you don't have any down payment. You are just deceiving yourself. Amen? Say with me, say, I have the Holy Spirit. Now, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you are just saying an empty statement. Say with me, say, I have the Holy Spirit. Because I have committed to Jesus. And I hope you can say that with confidence. And if you can't, you can do that today. Just commit. Amen? It's that simple. If you know, if you agree and you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you know and agree that Jesus is the only way to heaven, and you know and agree that Jesus is the only one that came down from heaven. No man ever came down from heaven. No man. And then if you know and you agree, yeah, that Jesus died for your sins, and you know that you can never pay the price for your sin, and you know that you are a sinner. Not just by the deeds of your hands, but even the thoughts in your mind. Amen? And you know that you need a savior. Amen? And you know that Jesus is the only qualified savior that can save you. Because every other person is a sinner too. And you know that he died on the cross, yeah? Not for his own sins, but for your own sin. And that God raised him from the dead. And you believe that. And you commit to him. Hallelujah. Then you can know that you have his Spirit living inside you. And I'm telling you, there's nothing more reassuring in life than to know that the Spirit of the living God lives inside of you. Hallelujah. That is God himself. Yeah? Living where? In you. Hallelujah. It means that no matter what life brings your way, hallelujah, you can overcome. Because what you have received, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you have received the life of God. The very life of God is in you. John chapter 1 verse 12. Let's open John chapter 1 verse 12. John chapter 1 verse 12. Yes, a young person who has not read today. John chapter 1 verse 12. I'm coming to you. The young people are on this side. John chapter 1 verse 12. Are you ready today? Get ready. John 1 to open your Bible. John 1 12. Yes, anybody ready from this corner? John 1 12. John chapter 1 verse Do you need that? I can give you. Oh, that's yours. Is that yours? Why do you let her collect it? She has a smartphone. Take as a bonus. Then do a swap. You know what I mean? John chapter 1 verse 12. Who is ready? Come on, church. Who is ready? You have not read today. Yes, of course. John 1 12, please.
John 1 12. Yeah. I'm reading for New Living King James.
Please pay attention. This is very important.
But as many as received him.
But as many as received him. Can you just read verse 11, the one before?
He came to his own and his own did not receive.
Yeah, that's talking about the Jews. Continue.
But as many as received him.
But as many as received him. We're talking about Jesus here, yes?
To them, he gave the right to become children of God.
He gave them what? The right to become children of God. What version is that, sir?
That's NKJV.
NKJV, okay. That NKJV is not as powerful in this case. It's good. It's just not as concentrated. So let's go to King James Version. John chapter 1 verse 12. King James Version, who has it? No, it's New King James, I'm sure. Because I know the very words I'm looking for now. Yes. John chapter 1 verse 12. King James Version, please listen. John 1 12.
But as many as received him.
As many as received Jesus.
To them gave he power to
He gave them power. Not become, just right. But what?
To become the sons
power.
Of God.
To become what?
The sons
not
of God.
Not just children. But what?
The sons of God.
Now, you may not understand what the difference there is, there was there between a child and a son. Somebody help me. Let's explore that. Thank you, sir. What is the difference between being a child and a son? You've been too quiet. I'm coming to you. That's the meaning. What's the difference between being a child of God and a son of God?
A child, like, if you're describing a child, it means they stay as, like, childlike, whereas a son grows up to be an adult and more mature.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Ma, I like it. A child and what? A son. Or maybe I should even help you. A baby? He says, my baby. He's talking to a man. Continue.
I would say maybe a son would actually carry on the lineage.
A son takes up, you know,
lineage, yeah.
Responsibility, take up tax, takes up much more. Yeah? Thank you. I like that. More? Any more? Anyone want to top it up? Amen? So God did not just give you the right. He gave you what? Power. As many that receive, if you receive Jesus, let me show you. Let me explain this the way I like to explain. You see, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus?
The Son of God.
The Son of God. You see, what if I say to you that Jesus is the child of God? How would you feel? Is Jesus the child of God? How does that make you feel? Should I say Jesus is the child of God? How does that come across to you? Does that sound nice?
Probably it sounds as if someone not having a responsibility.
Yeah, it's like you've taken something away from Jesus. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. And he says that he gives you the power to become what? Sons of God. So now, Jesus is the Son of God. We're not competing with him. He's our Lord, he's our King, he's our Savior. Hallelujah. But the Bible also makes us understand that he's the first. Yeah? Among his brethren. Yeah? If we are sons of God, that means we can become brethren, brothers and sisters of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's our senior brother. Yet he's our Lord and our King and our Master. Don't forget that one. Please don't get too familiar. Yeah. Be familiar with Jesus, but don't get too familiar. He's your brother, but he's also what? Your King. Amen? So, he gave us. If you receive Jesus, you become what? What do you become?
I'm the Son.
Son! Amen! When you hear the word son, that you're a son of God, how does that make you feel? Be plain. If I tell you now that you're a son of God, and I know what I'm playing at, how does that make you feel? Just one adjective. Not just one word.
Involved.
What?
Involved.
Involved! Involved! I like it. Involved. More. To be a son of God. I'm a son of God. How does that make you feel?
I want to say proud, but I don't know if that's going
to be. Yeah, proud. In a holy sense. Yeah. We're talking about holy pride. You know, let me explain holy pride. Holy pride is a pride, yeah, that delights in the glory of God and does not desire to steal that glory for self. So long that glory is being pointed to God, it's holy. When you redirect it and want to point it to self, it's sinful. Yes? Son of God.
Sanctified.
Sanctified! You know what sanctified means? You are set apart for God. Hallelujah! I can't just live my life anyhow, do this anyhow. I'm a son of God! You know, yesterday when we heard from evangelism, one of the questions that trip people up is that we ask the question, what do you believe about God? And one of the answers is, a personal God. So I was preaching to a young girl. She must be in her, like 20s. And she was like, she's a Muslim by upbringing. Not that necessarily she's a real Muslim. She's just Muslim because that's the family. So, what is the meaning of a personal God? How can God be personal? You understand? Because God is far, far away in heaven. Hallelujah. That's what you get in other religions. But in Christianity, yeah, God has a personal relationship with you. Amen? If you receive Jesus, yeah, you become involved because you become what? A son of God. Can I just throw this in? Why does this say sons and daughters of God? Why just only sons? Is it discriminating? Is it gender inequality? Somebody explain. Why does it say as many as believe in him, as many as received him, he gave them the power to become sons of God? Why not sons and daughters?
I'll say maybe there are more expectations from the sons of God.
Son?
And it gives you this like responsibility.
Yes, thank you. You're going there. Please pass it. Yes.
Because it's a title.
Because?
A title.
Yes. Any monsters? There's a revelation there. I need to teach it. Why sons? Why not daughters? Should we change the version and say, you made it again about to become daughters of God?
Well, when you say sons, I believe, the woman was brought out from man.
Yep.
So we're both, before God, we're sons because he's still, you know, we're together.
Hallelujah. Yeah. We are the same kind. Someone please smite your neighbor. Tell you, say we are the same kind. We are the same kind. We are the same kind. Hallelujah. The Bible says God made man in his own image. In the image of God made he man. Male and female, he created them. And he called them man or mankind. You see, Adam is double name. The meaning of Adam is mankind. We are the same kind. We are all mankind. Okay? But also, man also represents the male gender. So, when he says sons of God, he says, look, whether you're male or female, when you come to Christ, he's giving you equal access to God. He's bringing you to equal involvement with the kingdom of God. Yeah? There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither male nor female. There is male and female on earth. Please understand me. I'm not saying you to wear men's clothes. I'm saying that before the Father, yeah? Before the Father, yeah? We have equal access. Hallelujah. We have equal opportunities. Hallelujah. You as much a son of God spiritually as I am. And there's no gender in the spirit, by the way. But there's gender in the body. Don't forget that one. Please don't forget. Say with me, say, I'm still in the body. And there's gender in the body. So I celebrate my God-given gender. It's the best deal for me. And I will use it for the glory of God. You see, you don't need to fight your gender. Amen? You just need to make the most of it. The male gender is beautiful. Okay, you can say it's handsome. And the female gender is what? Beautiful. Okay, she said it's more beautiful. And that's not discrimination, by the way. Amen? Male and female, he created us. The male needs the female. And the female what? Needs the male. None is inferior to each other. We are there to complement each other. To fulfill the will of God and do the work of God. Amen? Romans. So as many as received Jesus, he gave them the power. I like power more than right. This is not a matter of argument. You know, you say, I have the right. Then argument starts. Say, you don't have the right. I have the right. Do you have the right? I have the right. You don't have the right. I have the right. Who gave me the right? He said, I have the right. The next question is what? Who gave you the right? Amen. But when you have power, before they open their mouth and say, who gave you? You just shut them out. Don't even want to say, I have power. Just use it. But if it's a right, it's a debate. Amen? So I have power in the name of Jesus. Because I want to understand that you don't have power outside of Jesus. You are nothing. Amen? It is when you are in Him. It's when you are engaging with Him, cooperating with Him. Like Brother said, when you are engaging with His presence. This is to understand that you believe is a living thing. Faith is a living thing. Faith is not abstract or static. I believed yesterday, so I'm in faith. No. No. To be in faith, you must believe yesterday. You must believe today. Believe tomorrow. Believe every day until the last day. And stay believing. Hallelujah. It's a living thing. Hallelujah. I believe in Christ. I believe, and I'm going to keep on believing. Which means I follow Him daily. I spend time in His presence. Hallelujah. So then I experience what it means to be a true son of God. Hallelujah. If you believe in Jesus, yeah, and you stop engaging with Jesus, you don't experience what it means to be a true son of God. Because you are not engaging. The life is in Him. John chapter 1 verse 3. He said, in Him was life. John chapter 1 verse 3. Where is the life? Where is the Zoe? In Christ. You must continue to engage with Christ. Then the life of Christ will continue to flow in your own life. John 14. Let's read the one we read there. John 14, 15. Open here quickly. We read it earlier on. John 14, 15. Yes, who has it? John 14, 15. A young person. I'm still looking for the young people. I want one of you to read. Okay? My success in this service that one of you read. Amen? Because that's how I see young people. It's so important to me. You know? That young people are part of my sermon. John 14, 15. Yes? Who has it? Who is ready? Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Please. Put your hands together and encourage the young man. John 14, listen. John 14, 15.
If you love me, obey my commandments.
If you love me. Who is talking there? Jesus. Say, I love Jesus. Yeah? I will build my life open. Yeah. The sun is so beautiful. Amen? Then the next minute, you go and do your own thing. He said, why did he say, I have my own life to live? That was church. This is life. No. Jesus said, if you love me, what do? Keep my command. It's the proof of love. It's the proof of love. I'm really talking about faith now. Yeah? Faith is a living thing. So would you say faith is a living thing. It can be born and it can die. Because that's what living things do. Let me tell you another living thing. Say, love is a living thing. It can be born and it can die. So, to keep faith alive, you need to nurture it. To keep love alive, you need to do what? To nurture it. If you stop nurturing faith, it will die. If you stop nurturing love, it will what? Die. Relationship. If you stop nurturing your relationship with God, yeah? It will what? Diminish. Yeah? And die. If you stop nurturing your relationship with people, it will what? It will diminish. It will not die overnight. You see, if I tell you that down, that's wrong teaching. It will what? It will start dying. It's called diminish. It's the process of death. Yeah? And if you continue to not nurture it, yeah? It will keep diminishing. And I tell you something, when your relationship is diminishing, you are becoming more unhappy. Amen? Because you are created for relationship. Because God himself is what? A relationship. Imagine, God the Father depends on God the Son. And God the Son depends what? On who? God the Holy Spirit. God the Father is not complete without the Holy Spirit. Jesus is not complete what? The Holy Spirit itself is not complete without it. You can't do anything. If you're able to cut the connection between the Holy Spirit and Jesus, it can't do anything. Amen? Because it will not act on its own will. Hallelujah. So Romans 8. Let me see how we're doing with time. Okay, we still have time. Let's say another 5 minutes. And after 5 minutes, I'll round up. So, Romans 8. Are you there? Verse 14. So I first took you to John 1:12. And I know why I did that. Now I'm taking you to Romans 8:14. Yes, who has it? Where's my mic? Okay, good. Okay, yes. Who has it now? Romans 8:14. Two versions. Yes. Thank you. Romans 8:14.
Oh, sorry. I thought I was in the New King James Version. Sorry.
Whatever version
Let
you have.
Let me go to King James. Yeah.
Yeah. You can have either New King James or New Living. Or I can take even the third version.
Romans 8:14.
Yep.
Okay. I'll be reading from the King James Version. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God.
For as many as are what?
Led
by the Spirit of God.
They are the sons of God.
They are what?
The sons of God.
Thank you. More? That was King James. Yes? Another version. Who's ready? Sorry? Yes. If I don't take your version, it's like I'm not accepting you. I have to accept you. I hope I've succeeded in intimidating your NIV.
Romans 8:14, NIV says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God."
Amen. You know when I need a lot of diluted squash, I go to NIV. because it will pamper me. Amen. Amen. Thank you. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? The children of God. Let me stay there a bit, and let me encourage my sister. See, there are some times that you need to feel like a child of God. There are some times that you need that tender touch of God, where you don't want to feel like a son. You want to feel like what? A child. Because you need discomfort. You need this encouragement. Okay? And remember that God is your Father. Amen? And there are some times that you just need to fall into that everlasting arms and let him cuddle you. Eh? Someone says, I need a cuddle. They're not saying it. They have to trust me to say this one. I won't mislead you. Say, I need a cuddle from my Father God. Amen. You know, that's not an African statement. African fathers don't cuddle their children. Right? Not the ones living here, the ones in Africa. Amen. But thank God that my Father God is not an African father. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes you need a cuddle. You need to be able to know that you can run into his arms and say, Lord, just encourage me. Yeah? Just comfort me. And God is, although God is strong, He is tender enough to reach you, even at those times, and give you what? Give you what? A cold. Hallelujah. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God, and they are the sons of God. Like one more version. One more version. One more version. Amplified? Anybody have amplified? Yes? John 1, Romans 10:14. And then after that I would tidy it up there. Next week we will continue. Part 2.
For all who are allowing themselves to be led by the Spirit of God.
For all who are what? Allowing. I like that part. They are allowing themselves to be led. The reason is this. The Holy Spirit is the most tender person of God. Of the three. You know, just said, if you sin against the Father, you'll be forgiven. If you sin against the Son, you'll be what? But he said, whoever sins against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. We need to take it deeper. The Holy Spirit is tender. Yeah? But that also means that he's the most gentle of he's the most gentle of them. He's the most, so basically, he's the most difficult to be offended. You know, when you read the Old Testament, you get a taste of what the Father can do, yeah? Amen? And then you have Jesus. Well, no, for the Holy Spirit to come and live inside you, what does he need? What is the virtue he needs most to be able to live inside you? I'm just doing this for your benefit, just to think. What virtue do you think the Holy Spirit needs most as God to be able to live inside a human being like you? What does he need? What? Patience, no. Holiness, yes. And patience. You know why he needs patience? Where's my mic? That says, why does the Holy Spirit need patience to live inside a human being like me and you?
Because we are very stubborn.
more. I want us to explore it. Explore it. Why does the Holy Spirit need patience to live inside you? Talk personal. Think about yourself. Why does he need patience?
Too adventurous.
Yeah? Adventurous. Yes. More? Any other one? Come on. Don't be shy. Any other one? Why does he need patience? The Holy Spirit needs patience to live inside of you. Why? Stubborn. Another word for stubborn is headstrong.
Yeah, and then one thing is, as human beings, we are very difficult even to understand ourselves. Very, very difficult.
You see, because sometimes the Holy Spirit, yeah, is speaking to you.